May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So this was a fairly unusual week for me in that I found myself posting on my Facebook page statements from the National Association of Evangelicals, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, the Mennonites, and the Massachusetts Council of Churches, which all said the same thing. They all reminded Christians that we are called to welcome the stranger and to urge us not to react with fear and anxiety at the idea of welcoming refugees. The fact that we would welcome the stranger is encouraging, but what I was surprised by is all of these voices we never raised in the same call. We hardly ever agree on anything. When we tend to tackle national issues of big importance, we have nuanced discussions and debates over our very different stances. But not this week. This week, there was a show of Christian unity like I don't remember seeing. That was not how the rest of the world reacted to that issue. If you listened to the news, you've probably heard a lot of voices raised in very angry and very fearful debate. As I was thinking about the sermon and trying to figure out what to say about the reign of Christ, a longtime friend of mine, someone with whom I politically disagree on just about everything, said to me, "You know, Suzanne, what I really wish you would talk about is the way we are so polarized in this country, the way this debate has brought out the worst of us, our anger and our frustration, the way our meme-based politics make us so angry and create such deep divisions within us and the American people. Tell us about our divisiveness." And I thought, wow. Yeah, I guess that was a lot of people's experience who don't have 40 Episcopal priests in their Facebook feed. But we are, in the world, very divided, and yet this was a week of deep Christian unity. In our gospel today, Jesus is brought before Pilate, who is the governor of Palestine, the governor tasked with keeping peace in Jerusalem. And this is not an easy job. The Roman province of Palestine, of Israel, was an endless source of trouble to the Romans because the Jews did not go quietly into being ruled by Rome. So Pilate's job on this week of Passover is to keep the peace. And he has a difficult task indeed. So when Jesus is brought before him, what he wants to know is Jesus fomenting revolution? Is Jesus claiming to be a king, the king, the son of the king of David? Is he claiming that he should rule in Jerusalem? And is he trying to overthrow Roman authority? Pilate would rather not get into more trouble than he has to, but he's perfectly willing to execute Jesus if he thinks maybe this is going to be a source of trouble, because that's how the Romans dealt with it. But Jesus is not much help, because Jesus refuses to simply answer the question, "Do you think you're the king of the Jews? You say that I am." Pilate is trying to understand, and Jesus refuses to respond in the way he expects. "Are you or aren't you?" Pilate says. "Are you fomenting rebellion or not? Is this revolution or not?" And Jesus doesn't deny it. refuses to play by Pilate's rules. And he tells him, yes, I'm a king, but my kingdom is not your kingdom. My kingdom is not like your kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. Traditionally, we have heard that proclamation, my kingdom is not of this world, as understanding that Jesus' kingdom is in heaven. That we have this world, and Jesus rules over there in heaven, where, if we are all good Christians, we will one day get to go when we die. There is our world, our kingdoms, and God's kingdom over there, separately in heaven. But that isn't a concept that was part of the Jewish tradition that Jesus grew up in. That wasn't a Hebrew understanding of heaven and earth. For the Jews, God might be in heaven, but heaven was very much a part of this earth, this creation. It wasn't separate. It wasn't over there somewhere. God was in the heavens, and God was active in human history. God entered into human history to guide people towards the ultimate reign of God, bringing about the reconciliation of heaven and earth, the creation of wholeness in all of creation. So that when God's reign started, it would be on earth as well as in heaven. You've heard that phrasing before, right? In the Lord's Prayer? On earth as in heaven. So when Jesus is talking about my kingdom, it's not of this world, he's not talking about going somewhere else to rule. He's talking about something else. And the clue for us is what he tells Pilate next. If my kingdom belonged to this world, my followers would be storming the gates. My followers would be armed and ready to defend me. My followers would have been revolutionaries. If my kingdom were of this world, I'd be playing by your rules. I would be seeking power the way Romans seek power. I would be seeking to control things the way the chief priests seek to control things. But my kingdom doesn't work that way. That's not what my kingdom is like. Just a few chapters earlier, meeting and eating with his friends, anticipating the next thing that would happen, his arrest, and everything that would flow from that, Jesus had told the disciples, peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. I do not give as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Because God's kingdom works differently than the kingdoms of this world. And my peace is different than the peace that we are accustomed to seeing in the world. In the Roman world, and for us today, peace comes when we have shouted down all our adversaries. When we have held the reins of power so tightly nobody else dares to challenge us. That's the world's peace. Jesus' peace is something very different. It comes to us when we are unafraid. It comes to us when we are willing to be patient and listen and think about what God's reign is like in the midst of this world and its brokenness. And that's what I think happened this week. Because I think Christian leaders sought in the midst of our anxiety and our fear, in the midst of the angry voices raised, we sought Christ's peace in the words of Scripture. And the more we read those words, the more we allowed God's peace into our hearts, the more we allowed ourselves not to be afraid, the more we were able to hear God's call to us. And God's kingdom works on very different principles. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Welcome the stranger. Give food to the hungry. Give something to drink to those who are thirsty. Heal the sick. Come to the rescue of the widow and orphan. Forgive. Love. When we live into that possibility, we heard something very different. And we found that space of Christian unity. We found that space of God's peace calming our hearts. And even with the cacophony of voices raised outside, we could hear God's call to us. And so we became a different kind of voice amidst the cacophony of the anger and the fear of the world. That is God's call to us. My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. In the midst of all that is going on in the world, we are to seek God's peace and to find there the courage to be unafraid, to give thanks, and to offer all that we have in generosity, to love and to forgive, and to hope. That, this week, was my glimpse of the kingdom of God. Amen.